For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. Over in St. John the 12th, 35 and 36, then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may be children of light. These things spake Jesus, and departed, and did hide himself from them. You may be seated. I'd like to look a little bit back in the 32nd Psalms again. And because the verse where we read in 6, it says, for this. But let me bear with me as I read this. And he speaks of this. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, in whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silent, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into drought of summer, Selah. I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin, Selah. And then he starts, for this. And that little word there, that little phrase, for this, it says a tremendous amount. That God would grant us repentance, that God would give us time. I'm reminded, and I hope that many of you are, even of the word where that in the book of Romans it says, it is the goodness of the Lord that leadeth thee to repentance. Time has been tremendously upon my faults last few days, and we've run several references and looked at this and did our best to be led of the Lord that we might see this. But what weighed so heavy upon us is what am I doing with the Lord's time? Well, preacher, all the time is the Lord's time. Amen, it is. But if we'll be honest with ourselves and honest with God, there are a lot of time of our day that we use to, if you will, take care of the things of life. But throughout the day, he does give us some time that we're reminded that we need to be calling upon the Lord, that we need to be reading in his word, and that we ought to be led of his spirit. A few weeks ago, we preached a message about how important it is to be led of the Spirit, and I know that that's weighed tremendously upon us before that and even until now about being led by the Spirit. But in the time, you know, our life is like a vapor, James writes, that appeareth for a little while and vanisheth away. And time is something that we never have enough of. And we don't even have enough time for our own selves. But what are we doing with the Lord's time? When we realize the need in our heart, when we come to the understanding, when I come to the place where that I know that I need to repent, that I need to seek, and, well, preacher, I do that every day, and yes, I do, but now listen to me. Be aware of these times. Be aware of the times when that God would unction us to pray. Be aware of the time that we spend seeking the Lord. And are we really doing it to spiritually accomplish some things for the glory of God? Now listen to me very closely. When we wake up in the mornings, and I understand mornings. Mornings is one of my favorite times of the day. I get up and I go into the kitchen, I get my breakfast, and I'm at the table. I try to read and study a while. But listen to me. I like those times. It's quiet in the house. It's usually just me that's up early. But as we think on this, this time that God has given us, even in that time, I am still taking care of things that pertain to the outward man.
And say you had an hour, say you had an hour and a half. Well, in that hour and a half, there might be a small window of just a few minutes of time that we are really able to spend with God. No doubt, amen. But in this time, am I sincere at being willing to yield unto God what needs to be yielded to the Lord? Many times in this moment, we're usually petitioning God for things that we think we need, things that we'd like to see come to pass. Many times, my friend, to relieve the worriment of our flesh. Amen, oh me. But listen to me very closely. One of the most important attributes of a child of God, trying to be led of God, is having a pure, clean conscience. And the only way that this is going to occur is that we don't let, if you will, slack come in the rope of our lives when we need to be seeking God in the due order and taking most advantage of this time. Now, Jesus speaks, and as we read to you there in John, he speaks unto them, except a corn seed falls into the ground, except it die, except it perish, except it be no more, it can never, ever produce. And he's speaking this concerning his departure. He's about to go to the Last Supper. And he's speaking to his disciples about him leaving and how that he has to be lifted up. But notice what he said. That when the light is near, we need to obey the light. We need to follow the light. We need to seek the light. Because the light's not always one. We live in a dark world. And when God comes by, we need to be ready to follow him. At a moment's notice. I don't need to wait to look around to see whether or not that this one hooks up and plows, or whether or not that this one's a hollering amen, yes, go. I need to be able to recognize when God comes by my life. Because while that light is there, while that illumination of knowledge and wisdom and love, and most of all, my friend, when that light is shining in my heart and in my mind and in my conscience to where that I can really see where I'm really at, then I can ask for God for the right things. But many times I fear that our prayers are selfish. Many times I fear that our prayers may have a carnal motive. Many times I fear in my own heart and life, Lord, am I seeking this after the right order? Now, David was acknowledging his sin. David was acknowledging that God had given him a place of repentance and a place to acknowledge all of his iniquities. And my friend, understand something. People can go through all the motions of all the religious ceremonies of prayer and repentance and reading and stuff. Except the Lord lead us in it, we're not getting anything accomplished. Just like when people come to the altar because it appears like it's the right thing to do. And they'll say a few words and they go back to their pew and they went just like they came. Because there was nothing accomplished spiritually. Understand that when God Almighty is speaking to our hearts and grants us this place of able to acknowledge our iniquities, we're able to confess our sins unto him. It is God that has given us this acceptable time. And in this acceptable time, my friend, God would have us to be thorough with our heart, thorough with our mind, thorough with our prayer, and completely yielded to him. This come to my mind this afternoon. There is not, and it's sad, but that our lives have lived so many years. But how harsh have we judged people in this life? Amen. Oh me. How harshly have I judged situations in people's lives? When if we would stop and be honest and, oh God, help me while this light is here that I can see where I'm really at with you, whose sins would be greater than mine? So am I really, sincerely, while I have this light, while he's near, while he's close, while I know that he's speaking to me, am I really being honest? Why? Because if in just a few minutes of time, we won't be here no more. And Wednesday night of this week in June, we'll be gone. and it will never ever be recalled. But for a moment of time, God has let us live, move, have our being, go about our things all week long. In just a few minutes of time, we got at the house of God tonight. Am I really wanting the light to lead me? Am I really desirous that the illumination of God Almighty would shadow down into my heart and my life and my soul and really truly give me direction? And as soon as I see it, the moment I recognize it, at the very instant I comprehend of what this light is having me do, am I going to do anything about it? Because before you know it, the light will be gone. Well, preacher, I can just call on God anytime. Our world's filled with that foolishness. People today stand behind pulpits and they advocate humanism, call on Jesus, claim Him as your Savior. You're a brand new man. And they ain't a bit more saved than the man on the moon. All they did was went through a religious rhetoric ceremony that appeased somebody's conscience. But as far as the working of the Holy Ghost and a time acceptable into their heart, they was just wanting to be accepted of mankind. They weren't worried about being accepted of God. Listen on to the Bible. Let's look here in Psalms a little bit more. He said, "Blessed, blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity." You talk about blessed. You talk about the greatest things of all of life, that God would not impute our iniquity unto us. Well, I can tell you this, this same writer wrote the words like this: "If thou regardest iniquity, O Lord, who shall stand?" So since, my friend, that no man can stand, blessed is the man. Blessed is the man. And listen to this. He says, "When I kept silent, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long." Boy, I tell you what, we keep silent many times and our bones are waxing older and older and older. And we roar all the day long. Understand, my friend, that when we realize and see our deficiencies, we ought to be willing to recognize them, our foul judgments, our self-righteousness, and my friend, where we've not labored, where we ought to have labored. And my friend, when we've been slothful concerning the work of God in our own individual hearts and lives, and my friend, we'll go roaring all the day. But listen, what does it accomplish? Listen. "For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me." Now, how is this? How is this that the hand of God would be heavy upon David? And my friend, I understand this. That it could even be the chastening of the Lord. That it could be him being reminded of his sin. The hand of God that wrote the law, my friend, his mind remember it, and that law that was against him, it's bound to be heavy. I don't know about you, but I remember the weight of sin I carried. I remember, my friend, the weight of my transgressions. And as David's cries that they are heavy upon him, and my friend, the way of a transgressor is hard. I assure you, friend, that the God of heaven did not desire his sheep to be bearers of sin. But God designed his sheep that we might follow his voice. Listen on. "For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer." Friend, you talking about dry? You talk about an unpleasant place? You talk about a place of hot and uncomfortable? Without a doubt, my friend David was there. And what a refreshing it is. Listen to this. He says, "I acknowledged my sin." That acknowledged, the word, my friend, is past tense. He acknowledged his sin. He didn't have to acknowledge his brother's sin. He didn't have to acknowledge Joab's sin. He didn't have to acknowledge Jonathan or Saul's sin. He acknowledged his sin. And friend, when we acknowledge it, we're going to come to the full weight of it. When he acknowledged his sin, "And mine iniquity have I not hid." Do we hide iniquity? Do we hide these things from ourselves to keep us from asking God to forgive us? What is iniquity? Do we hide it? Iniquity, my friend, is a sin that comes out of the heart. Many times it might not come to the fruition, my friend, of the actions of the flesh, but what it will do is this. It will sequester your love and your compassion, and it will eschew, my friend, if you will, it will cause your judgments to rise up even in your consciousness. And the next thing you know, because of what's in your heart and what you're thinking in your mind, it is preventing the working of the love of God that ought to be flowing from us. Do we hear it? Do we hear it? Friend, please, may my heart, may our hearts hear with patience the counsel of God, that my friend, that I would be willing, that I would not hide this iniquity that I know is prone to rise up in my heart. That I would be willing to confess this iniquity before God, that my heart might truly be free. Well, preacher, I'm free. Iniquity in our hearts, many times we wouldn't want nobody to know what we've been thinking. In fact, I would dare say this. Some of us would be embarrassed had our thoughts be written on the board behind us just in this service. I'll say it for you. Amen. But you see, if we're not willing to come to that place, then there's iniquity there. And peradventure, some may have not had any bad thoughts even in this hour. But there have been other hours you've sat right where you're sitting and you've had them. Amen. Boy, it's sad we won't come to the truth. It's sad we won't acknowledge these iniquities. But yet, you know what? We just demand God to hear an answer. That's not the way it works. God never has in the past. I don't think God will ever in the future. Well, preacher, God don't hold my thoughts over my soul. Well, let me tell you something. My friend, when those thoughts are against your brother, when those thoughts are against your sister, when those thoughts are against the Word, when our thoughts begin to impede upon the ability for us to express the compassionate love of Christ, I assure you that iniquity abounds and God doesn't like it. And if we think that we can just hide that and move along, oh, I fear that you may be like Achan, who hid a wedge of gold and the silver and a bright Babylonian garment in his tent. You think about that for just a few minutes. Now, those iniquities, we would never, ever display them to the world because it might display a shame upon us that we would even think or say such a thing. This bright Babylonian garment, this wedge of gold and silver, he could have never spent, he could have never wore. It was just hid in his tent. But boy, did it hinder Israel. Selah. Selah. But listen on. I love this. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions. Wait a minute. He just said iniquities. I believe this. I believe unrepented iniquities turns into transgressions. But let us run. I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. What a merciful God. What a long-suffering God. And I can assure you, friend, if we've got anything in all of life that we can be grateful and thankful for is that God has been merciful to us all. But he said, for this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Because of these things, anybody that's godly, anybody that knows about God, is going to pray in the proper time. I remember being in the service and we'd go to the field for weeks at a time. And you live in a swamp. And you wash out of a bucket. My friend, I tell you, when you get an opportunity to take a nice shower, You're going to drop what you got because you want to get clean. You wait for that time when that they might say, all right, men, we're going to get showers tonight. So-and-so's going to watch the weapons. Get your shower gear and meet back in the Humvee. You had thought they was offering hot chow. My friend, men would run like one more thing to get their cleaning stuff to go get a shower. Why? Because we knew we were dirty. We'd been living in the woods for over 2 weeks, and it was time to get clean. Oh, understand this, friend. When we get to the place when we're willing to acknowledge our iniquities, when we're willing to understand that our sin and His hand is heavy upon us, and that God would grant us a time and a space to be reminded, and my friend, of what's separating us from our God. We might go through the motions. We might sing the song. We might read the book. And my friend, but when the power of God needs to move, when the power of God needs to reach our people, when the power of God needs to move our soul, we'll realize the necessity and importance of getting our iniquities purged. And thank God for the opportunity and a time to pray, a time to weep, a time to intercede unto God, that God might have mercy upon me. It's not my brother. It's not my sister. It's not the man down the road. It's not the deacons at the church. God, it's me. You talk about a blessing. Heaven help our hearts. Let me hurry. Let's look over here in the book of John for just a little bit. Now, before what we read to you, some things that had occurred. He says in the 24th verse, after in the 23rd, that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. It abideth alone. You think you got people on your side? You think you got people for you? Well, my friend, let me tell you something. Until you die, you're alone. You hear me? This is the words of Jesus. It abideth alone. That means it lives by itself. It means, my friend, that there's nobody habitating with it. Except it fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. Well, preacher, Jesus is speaking about Himself. Well, I don't know about you, but I want to go down the same road Jesus went down. And He says here, verily I say unto thee, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. By the very words of Jesus, if I wanted to take inventory of Mike Freeman's life, and I wanted to see whether or not I had any fruit in my garden, if I had any fruit in the barn, if I had anything put up that would abound under the count of God in my life, and my friend, if I have died, my friend, if I've been put in the ground and died, then, my friend, will it bring forth fruit? But if there's no fruit, then by what the Bible says, I'm seeing that there's been no death. So this dust must go to the dust to die. What are you saying, preacher? I slew myself. I am responsible for my sin. Because it was me that broke the laws of God. And even as the Apostle Paul wrote, the sin that dwelled in me. But understand this, my friend, when the law revived, I died. It's what slew me. It killed me. I was condemned. I was convicted. The sentence was death. Had to die. No choice. He that loveth his life shall lose it. He that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto eternal life. Oh, my goodness. Now, do we love our life or do we hate our life? Let me tell you something first and foremost, and whether or not you want to agree with this, it ain't going to change the fact of the matter. Our flesh loves our lives. Oh, we try to do our best to take care of it. I promise you, we want to make it last. We want to make it endure. A few months ago, I preached a message here about cosmetics and what they spend on it annually. It's untold amount of millions of dollars every year that they spend on cosmetics. And what marveled me so much was the number one leading sale in cosmetics was the cosmetic removal. Man's never satisfied. He can't look young enough. My friend, we can't have enough. Next thing you know, we're trying to get rid of what we put on, put something else on. I promise you, our flesh loves its life. But there better be a man on the inside that's greater than the man that's on the outside. And they better be, my friend, a day in your life where you know that there was a strong man entered in to where you live. And he bound and cast out that man that was in there. And he, my friend, rearranged and made it a brand new house and moved in himself. Welcome to the abiding of the Holy Ghost of God. Listen on to the word. He says, if any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now, talk about fruit. Talk about honor. Brad Rogers and Greg Warren, another man by the name of Tim Lindman, they work for me. And I do my best to show these men my appreciation. And I can tell you their abilities and their work ethics, and I can do my best for them that I work around and to honor them and tell and brag upon them to understand something. This praise is small and short-lived. But understand this, I pray. My friend, when God honors a man's life, when the power of the Holy Ghost of heaven says amen, I promise you, my friend, that that gets more applause of the soul and the real hearts of real men than anything this world could ever produce. Amen. But you know what is amazing to me? They are people that love the praise of men greater than they do the praise of God. They would rather be accepted in the conscience of those in whom that they think that they worship with than in whom the God that they say they serve. This is a mystery to me. It's beyond my comprehension, my friend, that people would bow down to themselves and bow down to the world of religion versus bowing down to God. Preacher, I would never do that. Are you sure? Where's the fruit? And where's the honor of God? I don't know about you, but it makes me look close. And thank God for it. Listen on. He says, there also shall my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I into this hour. Came out, Jesus knew his cause and his course. Listen to me very closely. Being obedient in these times that are acceptable, my friend, I believe we can get into focus our own cause and our own course so that those things that befall us, how we can come to the place that the Apostle Paul even said, my friend, they befell me for the furtherance of the gospel. These things that's come upon us, my friend, that we esteem as trouble and heartache and sorrow, have they not caused us to seek God more? Amen. They have me. So these things that God has brought upon us, he didn't send them upon us to consume us, but to refine us. We've heard this over, but has it done the refining? Does God honor it? Are we serious about dying that we might live, forsaking our lives that we might have his? Are we aware, my friend, of our kind? Are we aware for what hour we've come to? One of these hours is going to be our last. One of these hours will be our last one. Will those that are around us at the time, I would love to leave this world surrounded by you. I'd like to look you in the eye and say, serving is well worth it. I'd love to part off this journey was surrounded by them that I've worshipped with at the house of God, but I may not. I may pass off the stage of action in a hospital room with nothing but CNAs and doctors that don't know a thing about my God. But I pray that His grace come upon the scene. I can sit up and tell Him, seek the Lord while He may be found. Call you upon Him while He's near. I tell you, friend, He's worthy of all the praise our lives could ever give Him. So in the time that we've got, are we serious about it? Are we mindful that this time won't be here forever? Just for an example, Sister Jackie was sick, missed a few services. David was sick, missed a few services. Listen to me close. Listen to me very close. The days and times are coming when that our health will not allow us to come back to the house of God. It's going to happen if you live long enough. Doyle and Dorothy, my goodness, what a track record they've got. What a testimony to the Lord. But understand this. Look at the time that's come to their lives. It's coming to us all. Should God tarry His time, so in these times may I be wise. May I be ready to acknowledge my iniquities. May I be ready to confess my transgressions. My friend, because of these times, my friend, they that are godly, may we call upon Him. Heaven help us. Listen on what He said. He says, then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Now what's taking place right here by the testimony of the Word of God? Just a few verses before what we read to you, what did Jesus say? Let me read it to you. He says in the 26th verse, if any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Well, what's taking place in this next verse? Listen to this. He says, then came there a voice from heaven, saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. God is honoring this servant of His Son, our Savior, the great Messiah. Heaven is honoring Him. God is no respect of persons, dear children. I promise you, if God is willing to honor one, He's willing to honor the other as long as they are His children. Now, this is a manifestation of the Word of God in their very presence. I pray, I trust, our lives might live according to the Word of God, and that God might honor our lives to the glory of God the Father Himself. What else would you want? What else is there? It ain't in the things this world has. Oh, it's the farthest from it. Oh, listen on. He says, the people therefore that stood by, it didn't say the servants, it didn't say the brethren, it said the people. The people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said, an angel spake to him. Let me tell you something. There was no shadow of a doubt that something took place. May our lives be in such a place that, my friend, that even the people must recognize that something has taken place. Oh, that God has come upon the scene. Some new supernatural force has exhibited itself to honor our lives. Not for our glory, not for our name, but for what God has done in our soul. Amen. Stay with me. Listen on. I'll do my best to hurry. This voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Is that not what we want? Is that not what we desire? Do we not desire our people to hear the voice of God? Do we not want our people, my friend, to move from where they're at in obedience to the voice of God? Jesus, this high servant of Christ, my friend, Christ Himself, is saying these very words. This voice didn't come from me. It wasn't for my sake, but it was for your sake. Children, it ain't about us. It's all about Him. It's all about those that He might turn in the days of our journey, because we told them what God has done in our soul. Amen. Heaven help us.
I thank the Lord for his help. He says, now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Welcome to the manifestation of the Word of God, where that he said that the grace of God that it bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. I thank God for the testimony of the Word for itself. Listen on. This he said, signifying what death he should die. People answered, we have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. And how sayest thou the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? My goodness. Here is God, incarnate in the flesh, done miracles in their presence, over and over. And they say, who is this Son of Man? It's beyond me sometimes, and how plain I've seen God put his word right in front of people. And they were just oblivious to it. Might as well have been a comic book. Might as well have been a newspaper. Might as well have been a motivational speaker about getting more money in the flesh. Because they didn't a bit more pay attention to it nor do it than anything else. Are we aware of the times of our lives? Are you aware that these times shall soon pass? Last week, Patricia Anderson, I knew her as Allison, she burned up in a camper. She died. She died of smoke inhalation. She's my age. Others that I went to school with younger than me are dead and gone already. Children, listen to me. I pray you hear me. You're about out of time. And I could be the one that has the least amount. But what are you going to do with your time? Oh, listen. Then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk, move, change where you're at. Walk while you have the light. It's amazing to me at how many people try to do God's work in the dark. But Jesus is saying here, walk, move, get out from where you are, change locations, walk while you have light. You don't know the way to go, and neither do I. We must be led. How are we led? We must be led by the Spirit. What is the Spirit? It's light. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. I understand this is a journey of faith. I know that without faith it is impossible to please God. But I promise you, my friend, faith anointed and led by the Spirit is not darkness. We don't beat the air as one that just hammereth out time. But I believe by the purpose of God to reach the condition of men's souls, to bring us to the reality of where we really are, by the glorious light of the gospel. This is the illumination of our heart. Listen on. He says, while you have light, believe in the light. While you have light, believe in the light. Now let me ask you something. Have you had any thoughts this week that would cause you to consider in your heart where you're at with God and what you're doing with your time? I would have to just summarize for just a little bit that God has passed by our way and spoken to us and reminded us of our days and, my friend, and how important it is for us to acknowledge our sins and our iniquities and confess them before Him. My friend, and especially it's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. My friend, while the light is present. Now, did you watch a television show on Monday that would illuminate you to that? You didn't get it from CNN or MSNBC or Fox?
You may have been enlightened while you were on your knees in these precious times. But I can't help but believe, and I can tell you this, I promise you this, I asked Debbie Ann to pray for me when I got out of the truck. I felt empty as a drum. I had a little thought, but I tell you what, God's blessed me to preach to me. And I thank Him for it. But know this, while this light is near, we need to move to it. He that regardeth the wind shall not sow. I know that there have been times of opportunity in my life that I have missed. Do you remember a passage in the Bible that says something along these lines? The summer is ended, the harvest is past, and we are not saved. That harvest is past. You're not going to bring that harvest back. You're not. You cannot relive Monday afternoon. They are people who fill their minds. Am I friend and constantly dwell in the land of regret? Would to God I could go back. We would to God all of us could go back. But we can't. Don't entertain those vain thoughts. Pick up with what you got and go with God. Stop losing. Start gaining. Listen on. While you have light, believe in the light. The devil wants to keep you from believing the Word of God. The devil wants to keep you from believing the preached gospel of Christ. When God is sending His Word, when the Spirit of God is stirring in your heart, believe what God is sending with all that's in you. Listen on, please. While you have the light, have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. I would have to summarize this, that if you don't walk while you have the light, then you're going to be a child of darkness. And that's not adding to the Word of God. That's just looking in depth at the Word of God. If we don't walk, if we don't move, if we're not obedient, if we're not, if our lives are not changed from one location to the next because of the light, then you're going to walk in darkness. And if you walk in darkness, you're a child of the darkness. Are you a child of the light? Let me ask you this. Be honest with your own heart and honest before you and God. You're going to convince me. You want me to believe that in 3 years preaching here, three times a week, that this glorious light of the gospel has never desired to move your life. You want me to believe this. You want others to believe it. And we want the power of God to fall. Children, please, I beg you. I beg you, recognize how swiftly the time of our lives are passing. Stop and think about the last 3 months. I can testify to you of this. Whether or not that you're aware of it, whether or not that what I'm about to say means anything to you at all, I can promise you what I'm about to tell you is the truth. You have spent less time at the house of God this year than you have in the past 10. Are we aware of these times? Or did the devil just come and get them and take them away and we didn't even realize it? How precious it is for us to sit together in heavenly places. What a joy it is when God fills somebody up and pulls them out all over the house. What a joy it is when somebody stands and says, I've got a song. What a blessing it is when somebody's got so much of the love of Christ flooding out of their lives they cannot sit still nor can they be quiet. Are we aware of the time of our lives? Or are we just not going to recognize it, and are we going to be found? Well, who is this Son of Man? And He had done all of these miracles. He had given them examples over and over and over. And these people were the people of the world. that if anybody in the world was supposed to be able to recognize the Messiah, it was these people. And now, after 3.5 years, and he's about to be crucified, they say, "Who is this Son of Man?" Are we aware of our time? Are we aware of our time? That's my heart for us. We'll rest in our seats.